This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening, good evening, and thank you for tuning in to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight, we're going to be talking about stay home and stay safe. Our quarantine has been extended by 3 weeks. So what I want you guys to do is to let me know, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about staying an extended 3 weeks in the house? We have, so far, our new cases is 1,350. Our new deaths are 108. Now, I don't know about you, but 108, I'm not sure. I didn't hear anyone say it. But I'm thinking that's the lowest that we've had, 108. Anyway, the total cases in Michigan is 36,641. That's the total cases. The total deaths is 3,085, which is too many. Okay, so the governor did say some businesses can go on. She was talking about the landscapers, which were the people that were really upset about not being able to start. But she allowed them to start, the lawns, the landscapers, the lawn service people, and the plant nurseries. So, you know, those of you that want to start your plants, your flowers, and all of those, you can go to the nurseries. But you're still asked to wear your mask. Well, she said she didn't want to say mask because she wanted to leave that particular term for the nurses and the doctors. So we're supposed to use a covering over our mouths. And I have seen some really interesting covers. Some of them cover your head and your nose and your mouth. So, I mean, you know, it all depends on what you like. And besides the landscapers and the lawn service, you have non-essential stores that may offer curbside pickup and delivery, garden centers, paint, flooring, and carpet. Now, this is kind of, the next one is kind of crazy to me because it's bike repair and maintenance. So, well, I guess, you know, if you want to get outside and something happens to your bike, you can go to the bike repair shop. Well, okay, whatever. But those were the ones that she said could open. The rest of them are still to be closed. The interesting thing to me is that in Georgia, the governor, who didn't even, you know, talk to the mayor, he opened what, bowling alleys, tattoo parlors, and what else did he open? Governor Whitmer opened the golf courses. The only thing she said is you could not use the carts. So I don't know the whys to that, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, Georgia opened the bowling alleys, the tattoo parlors, and the spas where you can go and get your nails and your feet done. And from the picture that I saw, there was a line of people, well, females of color, in the parking lot. And a lot of them weren't practicing the 7 feet apart thing. But they said that the parlor was only accepting 2 at a time. Now, from all those people I saw, if you're only taking in 2 at a time, they were working all night. But they were probably excited to do it. I don't know. But the governor has some newly created committee that wants to, you know, they're complaining about her extending the stay home, stay safe by 3 weeks. I mean, you know, this thing is serious. And I don't understand. I hope someone can help me. Why is it these people don't do as they're told? What's going to happen is we're going to have to stay longer if those deaths go up. Why is it that people don't wear their mask? I saw someone today with no mask on. I mean, why not? I think more do it than those that don't. That's just me. Because I've seen quite a few with the mask, with the coverings on. But what is it? Now, there was a man I read about, and I think his wife had to write it because he thought the coronavirus was just, you know, no big deal, nothing. He thought it was a hoax. And I think that was maybe a week before he passed away with it. So those of you that are listening out there, this is no joke. This coronavirus or COVID-19, whichever one you want to call it, it's serious. It's really serious. And why people can't understand that, I don't know. The beaches in Florida, I think they're still open. If they were closed, then I thought I heard someone on TMZ said they're open. People are traveling. You know, there was a group of a caravan of people telling ICE to release those that they had quarantined. I mean, the detainees, they wanted them to let the immigrants go so they could go home and be in quarantine with their families. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that makes no sense at this point in time. I don't know if you have a different idea, different than mine, you know. Push the 1 button on your keypad and give me what you think about it. I don't know. But they had a caravan honking horns, trying to get ICE to let the immigrants go. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense. So, I don't know. And you guys think about it, and when I come back, let's see what you have to say. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show.
This is Jacqueline Jones Frederick of Jones & Frederick Enterprises, Inc. This incorporation consists of a tutoring business, a tutoring staffing, and a traveling business. We have served the community since 2007. Our clients are third graders to college students. We tutor in all academic subjects. Please call Jacqueline at 586-306-5487.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them online at aaomi.org.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
My name is Sheila White. I am the president and co-founder of Her Cries Are Heard, an organization that focuses on preventing violence against females. One in three women have been victims of physical abuse or violence by an intimate partner or non-partner within their lifetime. 94% of women killed by men were murdered by someone they knew. Violence can affect a woman's physical and mental health and also negatively affect her children. In 1991, my sister was murdered by her husband. And in 2013, my niece was murdered by a man who followed her home from a party. Being a victim of violence is devastating to the victim and the victim's family. Help us to help you. Help us to prevent this from happening to you or someone you love. Please look at our website, www.hercriesareheard.org, for the prevention tools and referrals to help save lives.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Hey, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And tonight we're talking about the extended 3 weeks that Governor Whitmer has placed us under and whether or not you are happy with that or not. Let me know. Right now I'm calling on my host tonight, my co-host, Mr. Maceo Coleman. Are you there?
I'm here, Jenny White. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. Glad you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you. And I'm going to say right off the bat, we have a person that wants to talk. So, hello,
okay.
Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hello. Hi. My name is Suzette, and I'm calling from Southern California. Good evening.
All right, Suzette. Well, glad to have you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hanging
well,
out
I'm glad.
VTR shows.
Okay. So you're hunkering down safely.
Yes.
Okay. All right. You had a question or wanted to make a comment?
Well, I think that that some states that are, because there were states that weren't affected as much as other states, and some states, there were counties that weren't affected at all within a state, and they pretty much maintained that since the stay-at-home order. So I think that for those counties to slowly, you know, start getting back to work, it wouldn't be harmful, but, you know, to have states that are side-by-side where one of those states is like New York or California, Northern California, where there's just still a lot going on, I think people should stay home and stay safe.
Are you guys under the order as well?
We are, but Governor Newsom was, diplomatic enough to allow the counties to determine their own fate, I guess, if you will. The stay-at-home orders from county to county or city to city are different. Like L.A. is like totally like locked down. If you're a business and you have your lights on at night, you know, and the police drive by, you'll get cited and you'll have your, you know, utilities shut off so that you stay home.
Oh, wow.
Where I live in Ontario, you know, we don't have that. We have to wear masks in some stores, but some stores don't require it as far as grocery stores. We're a little bit more lax and as far as that goes, but people are staying home for the most part. They're respecting the order. I think they just want to be safe.
Are you respecting the distancing?
Me? Yes.
Like seven,
I have my mask.
Okay.
But, see, I work in a hospital, too, so I work in the records department. So, I mean, I don't see the patients. It's usually family members. And we have to wear masks, and we, you know, we don't have the PPE gear, but we do wear masks. But we haven't had any patients at San Antonio Hospital up in California. So we've been lucky that we haven't had to, you know, see people suffer as far as any patients coming through.
Had many deaths?
In San Bernardino County, which is the county I live in, I believe we've had, I think we have like 150 or something, but we're like the largest county in the United States, San Bernardino County. So we've got a lot of people, not to say that those 105 people lessen their lives at all, but just for our county, that was pretty good. My hospital that I work at, we didn't have any there. So
really?
That's good. Yeah. We've had some flu cases come through, but they were sent home that same day. We haven't had anybody come back. But that's, San Antonio, Upland, California.
Spell that, please.
San Antonio Hospital.
Oh, San Antonio. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, Upland, California.
That's really interesting. Okay, Mace, what would you have to say about that?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting as well. I mean, I'm sure there are certain pockets in different places that aren't experiencing, you know, the outbreaks that some of the larger urban areas are, and not necessarily urban. I mean, you know, there's been the outbreaks at the meat factories at Smithfield and Tyson as well. What cities surround where you stay in Ontario?
We're close to L.A. and we're actually between L.A. and San Diego.
That's
what they've seen at the county hospital. I mean, for all I know, you know, they could have been overwhelmed or been busy, but as far as I know, we're pretty spread out where I'm at. It's not really a condensed area. And anywhere you need to go, you've got to take your car or a bike because we don't have, like, grocery stores on every corner, which is nice, but it's also kind of a bummer when you need milk at night.
Okay. So yeah. Are the restaurants still letting people dine in, or is it carry out only?
Carry out only.
Okay.
And they close. Everything closes down at 10 o'clock. If you don't eat by 10 o'clock and you need to eat, you're out of luck.
Okay. Well, it's not a bad thing. You know, you still have to, you know, practice social distancing and be disciplined with what you do as far as trying to be clean and disinfecting, you know, because still, you know, it's supposed to be transmitted from person to person, but you just have to be careful. Somebody from an infected area might come through there.
Right. Or even somebody that may just have, you know, allergies because if they're a carrier and they sneeze, you know, they're spreading it and they don't know they're spreading it because they have allergies.
That's true.
You know, systemic carrier type person. So we have to be careful with that too. My concern is that type of transfer. And because it's five times faster than the regular flu, you're going to have a lot more people getting it, but it's not a, you know, the death rate for it, they're finding out that the numbers were not accurate, that they're actually less as far as getting it, like you have a 1% chance of getting it now before it was up to 3 or 4. So that's comforting as far as that going down. So I'm glad about that. I'm not so sure about opening the movie theaters yet or the restaurants because, you know, people are still too close together. You know, you need ventilation. You need airflow.
Outdoor barbecues, cool.
You know, you want to sit outdoors, have a picnic, and there's a restaurant there that's serving on a picnic table. That's all right because you've got airflow. But, yeah, I'm not ready to go back to have movie theaters. Thank you for taking the call.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much. I'll be listening online.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Anna.
Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have a question?
Maybe.
No, I was just going to say, I don't think things are ever going to be the way that they were before the pandemic hit. You know, we're going to have a new normal.
Yeah.
Well, I think the more we keep saying we're going to have a new normal, then we will. It's going to happen. I think if we're just going back to work, basically, we had taken a hiatus, you know. It's going to be iffy at first because we're, as far as people, you know, standing next to you in line or whatever, we're going to not help but have to look at them to see, oh, did they look like they washed their hands after they came out of the bathroom? So, yeah, I think probably as far as the new normal, that part, I think you're right.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll be more suspicious. That would be too bad.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Take care.
All right, take care.
All right.
So,
yeah.
Mace, we have one more person that would like to ask a question or make a comment.
All right, caller.
Hello. Yes. Caller, you're on.
Hi, Jenny White.
Hey.
Hi, and Mr. Coleman. Just wanted to follow up behind the caller that just spoke. It was really interesting to hear her take on how they are carrying things out in California. It does make a difference when you're in a community that is spread out. And it also makes a difference on the community that you are in. So from a demographic that has been heavily impacted by this virus, the percentage does not matter to me as much. If it's 1% or if it's 2%, that makes a difference because whenever I see a death, those individuals look like me. So when you're talking about, and I'm so glad our governor has decided to prolong the shelter in place order, because if you're a carrier and you go across, you can travel.
Yes.
If you're going from from Southeast Michigan to Upper Peninsula, that virus traveled. So while everyone is trying to get back to taking their boats out, golfing, whatever they're trying to do, this is an active virus, and it is tearing apart communities. It is tearing apart my community, and so I'm very passionate about it. Every time I look on Facebook, I see someone who has lost a family member or family members or leaders in our community. So our community will forever be changed by this virus.
That's true.
So it's something that is a little bit more personal for me, and social distancing needs to continue. I don't know when we'll get back or if we'll ever get back to the way things were, but because it is something that is tearing apart the African-American community, it is something that is I can't take lightly, and a percentage means nothing to me.
You know,
That's said with total respect to the caller that came on before me, but I'm just speaking to someone from a different community.
Unfortunately, she's gone, and I started to hold her on too, San Antonio is gone now. But anyway, and if she's listening, you can call back. But anyway, you know, I can understand what you're saying, because it's true. Most of the people that are being hurt by this look like us.
Absolutely.
And the people that were down there standing in line for those, get their fingernails done and all of that, it kind of makes you angry. Oh, she heard me. She's back. Sonia, did you have something to say to her?
No, it wasn't anything particular. Hi.
San Antonio, I'm glad you came back.
I told you I was listening to the show.
Yeah, you should be. Thank you.
So there wasn't any particular thing I wanted to say, but I wanted to speak from a different perspective. Because your experience is different from my experience, and your community is different from my community. So if I'm in Michigan, I'm in the Detroit area. So our community has been hit heavily. So getting back to work is not as simple.
Because you can't
go across county lines. And as I indicated, that percentage, the individuals, that 1%, those individuals look like me. So if it doesn't matter if it's 1% or if it's 10%, that is one diagnosis, one death too many.
That's true.
Well, you are right about the differences in communities. I live in a mostly Hispanic community. And what I meant by the 1% was that there's a 1% chance that you would contract the virus, but that doesn't mean that you have 1% chance of dying. It's just catching it, and then there are other factors that go into dying, so it's even less than that. But I understand what you're saying as far as statistics, numbers, and that they don't mean anything.
Because there are people, there are things that are behind those numbers, which should be in front of those numbers when we're talking about, opening up these states and counties and cities opening up for business, because those spaces aren't there anymore. So
Yes.
What's that?
How long are you under quarantine? How long are you guys under quarantine?
We got extended to.
Oh, okay.
We're extended to the 30th. Yeah.
30th of this month?
Mm-hmm. And then Governor Newsom will decide what he's going to do, after that. So.
Can I ask you?
Uh-huh.
A question, I'm sorry. I know your governor was one of the first. They instilled the shelter in place early. Do you feel your numbers are lower because of that? Because that makes a difference in your outcome.
Yes.
So you may see that's a different experience from what we have.
Yeah, I think so. I think when he issued those orders, like I was saying, it's up to the mayors to decide what they wanted to do. So it was kind of a group effort, if you will, because some cities said, well, we're going to restrict movement to the 6 feet, you know, apart type thing, but we're not closing down our restaurants or anything else in the cities. And then slowly they started to, and then Governor Newsom by that time said, okay, we're doing it statewide. And he made sure that the hospitals had, you know, we had all our supplies that we needed. As far as I know, our administrators didn't have any issues with that. We didn't need any new beds. You know, new hospitals made, but I think that because he acted quickly and because he actually worked with the president worked with him. I guess they had phone calls back and forth with him and Cuomo. I don't know why their other governors aren't, you know, in close contact as well. But I think close contact got us what we needed here.
You know, I'm from the state of that woman, so that's a partisan issue when the governors and the presidents. Working together, those relationships. So it does make a difference.
When I saw Governor Newsom in his first press conference, I thought, there's going to be a clash, you know, because of the whole political thing. And the first thing that came out of Governor Newsom's mouth was, I'm not going to make this political. This is about the people. I'm going to work with the president to get what we need to, you know, keep our state safe, yada, yada. And I was like, I just about fell on the floor. I was like, all right.
Cool. But you know what? Well, that's interesting that you say that your governor said that, because it's not the governor who's not working with Washington. It's Washington who's not working with the state or certain states.
Well, sure. But they could both be butting heads. And because he had opened his door, you know, that opened up the communications to let things happen. So, you know, when you have two doors closed, it just makes it just as harder to get through something. So, yeah, because I know my governor doesn't like the president. They don't particularly get along. Presidents, you know, put a lot of restrictions on the money that we get for federal aid for fires and stuff like that. And so, yeah, technically they really don't get along. So he gave the olive branch. I guess you could say the bigger man extended that olive branch. So kudos.
You guys have had a better experience. I watch the news conferences daily, unfortunately, and what I see is where we have a federal government who is not trying to support the states. That's what I see.
Well, he's so trying to help the people. He told the people today that if they took some Lysol, disinfectant, and, you know, inject it, that would take care of everything. And you guess what? It will. It'll take care of everything.
It'll take lights out.
Right. Now, can you believe that? He was serious. And then somebody got to him, and he came back and said, I was just kidding.
Well, he's got a very dry sense of humor. I have a relative like that, and I never know how to take him.
He didn't know what he was talking about until somebody explained it to him. You don't interject. Any kind of disinfectant into your body. And you know what?
Right.
Because he said that, Lysol had to come out, and they told people, do not inject any disinfectant into your body. Lysol had to come out. The company had to come out. Now, that was a joke. He was serious. That's the kind of leader that's in, you know, in Washington. Inject yourself with some disinfectant.
I'm just laughing just because I know smart people look at him and go, all right, whatever, you're an idiot. They're not going to go, the president said that the Lysol will cover it. So I'm going to go get me some couple of cans. Kids, here's yours. One for you, one for you.
But there are some people who will, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, thank you, San Antonio. I appreciate you calling back in.
No problem. Thank you guys for taking my call. Be
no
safe.
Problem.
And
no
God
problem.
Bless you all.
You
take
too.
Care.
And call back
thank
again.
You.
We like you.
Thank you. Thank you. It was
okay.
fun calling in.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. We have another person who would like to make a comment or ask a question.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Okay. When I was calling in to say something else, but then, you know, I started thinking about this Lysol thing. I know somebody is going to do it because he has some followers that whatever he tells them, they believe. But it was funny because I don't watch the press conferences anymore because I almost destroyed the TV watching his press conferences. I forgot that throwing the shoe at the TV wasn't going to hit him. So I put a little ding in my in one of my TVs. I'm like, okay, I only got three, so I got to keep them. So I stopped watching. But what I do is a lot of times I'll watch like either Morning Joe or something like that early in the morning since I'm at home working. And when I heard that this morning, I wasn't quite awake. I was like in that mode where you're getting ready to wake up. And I thought, he didn't just say that, did he? And I rewound the thing, you know, backed it up to hear it again. And when I got through hearing that, I'm like, what in all the heck? I could not believe that he was saying that. And it wasn't just that. He also said, insert a blue light into your body.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, what they did was they played part of his thing where he said something about light and warmth, and if you find a way to insert the light in you, I'm like, wait a minute, what is he talking about? So I rewound it a third time, and finally I heard the whole thing. I couldn't listen much more. I had the lights off thing. I was done. And when I tried to tell my mother, she doesn't listen to him either, and she'll just wait and hear one thing during the day. And I was telling her, she thought I was joking. She thought I was just calling and joking. She really did not believe me. And I said, that's what he said.
Well, I'm sure anybody in that right mind wouldn't think that was true. Maceo, what do you think about the Lysol?
Oh, I think he's a fool. But, you know, I say this. I say that if all his Trump supporters want to go out there and inject themselves with some Clorox bleach and cut themselves open and put some ultralight in themselves, go for it. Right, go for it. Let's see what happens. If all his
Trump
supporters
if you live and come back and tell me about it, huh?
Yeah,
right. Well, if they want to take some hydroxychloroquine while they're at it, they go right ahead.
Well, you know why he was pushing that. He has a say in that. He's got some money going on that.
Yeah, he's invested in the pharmaceutical company.
Absolutely.
That's producing it.
Yeah, so he wanted everybody to try it.
You know, you can't be surprised with the things that come out of his mouth.
No, you can't, but I laughed. I tell you, no lie, that was hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Now, if some fool wants to do that, they can. They can. Sonia, what do you have to say about it?
About
She say, ugh.
I mean, absolutely.
About the disinfectant.
It's unfortunate.
I understand.
You know, it's
so unfortunate. Because this is real life.
Absolutely.
It is. This is real life. And we're having a pandemic, and he's talking about inject yourself with a disinfectant, and that'll take care of everything. Dr. Burke was sitting there. He looked right at her, and she was sitting there with her head down because I know she couldn't believe it.
She wanted to disappear.
I didn't see Fauci. I didn't see him.
No, he wasn't just trading in the madness.
And that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's crazy. It's crazy. I don't understand. And somebody said they were voting. It was a group of people. I don't know if it was I don't know. But they were saying yesterday that they supported Biden and that this pandemic had helped them to make up their minds. So
what,
that tells me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't think, I was having a conversation, but I think Trump is going to try to get out of doing a debate with Biden. First of all, I don't know if he understands technology enough to do it. But I know, I have a feeling he's going to try to get out of a debate because this is going to be the center of that debate, and he's going to look like a complete and utter crazy person. And he's been having his press conferences are really his rallies every day. That's why he has them. But I think there was a lot of Republicans that have said they were voting for Biden, and a lot of people who might have been, I don't know how, what fence they were on, but who might have been on the fence where, you know, at this point, it's crazy to vote for anybody else. I mean, I said once that I didn't care if it was a dead person, I'd vote for him before I'd vote for Trump. Okay, so this is, I can't imagine anybody in their right mind going out and voting for Trump, period.
Well, it's about 40% of them that's not in their right mind.
Yeah, you're right.
44,
yeah, they're thinkers, yeah.
He got his base, right.
Yeah,
but one
does.
Of the other things I wanted to talk about was during this pandemic is because we're changing the way we're doing things, you know, for the most part, we're trying to be socially distant. We're trying to go into the grocery stores, you know, and the different places with masks over our faces so that we're not contracting anything or we're not, you know, giving anybody, you know, we're not breathing on anybody either. So there are some modified ways to shop during this coronavirus pandemic. And I wanted to kind of talk about some of those ways as far as getting your groceries delivered and going to the grocery store and just popping your trunk and having people put your groceries in your car, you know, contactless ways to shop. So, Sonya, still on the phone?
Yes.
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, I mean, I know that you know a couple different ways to shop that quite creative in some of the new technology with Shipt and some of the other ways. Would you like to kind of talk about that, expound on some of those ways?
Sure. I have recently been utilizing the Instacart, which has been a great lifesaver. The key to that is making sure you're not shopping around the beginning of the month. Instacart allows me to go online and purchase my groceries. It will locate grocers in my community, such as Sam's Club, Aldi, Kroger, Meijer, Farm Market, and it will deliver the groceries to my home. I'm able to go in and pick my items and pay for them online. And it provides an opportunity for no contact delivery. Walmart.
Okay, I have a question.
Sure.
Is that you have to get what you want at one particular store, though, right? They're not going to go to Sam's Club and then turn around and go to Meijer's and this and.
I can order multiple stores.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I can order.
I mean, what I'm saying is that one time.
I have not tried that feature. I have not tried that feature. But
no, I didn't.
So
what I'm saying is if you asked for some Tide or some toilet tissue and Sam's Club didn't have it, and then would the person you gotten the majority of your items from Sam's Club, now you need tissue, they're not going to go to a separate store to get the tissue, are they? You're just going to get everything at one time from Sam's.
I cannot say that person who's doing the shopping at Sam's will also be the person who's shopping at the other store. But I can order from different stores. I haven't tried that feature. I've only shopped one day. I shopped at Sam's. Another day I used Meijer. So I haven't shopped at multiple stores on the same shopping experience.
Okay.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it's not guaranteed that you're going to get the same shopper at different stores, but you can still get different items at different stores.
No, I know what I'm saying is that if you ask for some toilet tissue and they don't have it, is what I'm saying.
Will they then run to another store to find it?
Right. Would they go? Would
no.
they go and
no.
let me see? Well, okay, that's what
no,
I need.
No, they will not do that. No, they will not do that. What
well,
they
that makes
will do is, what they'll do is if there's an item that they do not have, they ask you if there's a replacement that you want.
Okay.
So I may order Charmin tissue. Charmin tissue may not be in stock. They may have stock. They'll communicate and say, do you want a replacement? And beforehand, you can communicate that you are open to a replacement product in the event that item is not available.
Okay.
So when using this feature, I've gotten, I would say, 90% of the items that I want.
Oh, okay.
No,
and that's pretty much the experience if you were to go into the store because it's based upon what's on the shelf.
Now, I've got a question.
Okay.
How do you pay for it?
You're able to use a credit card online. That
okay.
shopper does not have any, they do not have access to any of your credit information. It's done through Instacart.
Now, there are
is
fees
that,
for.
I just want to know, was the Instacart, is that it?
That's correct.
Okay.
Instacart.
I have a question, though. Are you in Detroit and they're delivering it?
Yes, I'm not in Detroit, but I've ordered for Detroit and they did deliver yet.
Okay, reason
it'll
I'm asking.
You based upon. Go ahead.
Well, I had gone through Shipt at first, and they didn't have any deliveries or anything in available, and I tried it for about a week and a half. So finally, I started going to the Meijer's website. The one over here, I couldn't get any deliveries. I couldn't get any pickups. I couldn't get the one on Grand River. What I ended up doing was I went and ordered it out in Northville. And I did they won't deliver from Northville, but I did the curbside pickup. And I was able to get pretty much everything. I think only one or two things they didn't have. And I did the shopping for myself, my mother, and another a friend of hers who's a senior. I just did one pickup, and I went out to Northville and did the curbside pickup from that. What I found was no matter what I put in, if I tried to do it in a store that was in the Detroit area, because we don't have a whole lot of grocery stores, period, okay? But the Meijer's on 8 Mile, there was never a pickup time available. I ended up getting that one in Northville from like 7 to 8 o'clock on last Friday, and I had been trying for almost 2 weeks to get groceries because I went into the Kroger store on 14 and or 13 and Evergreen, and because they had the senior thing, and I fall up under that little senior thing, just slid up in there. And going in the store shopping wasn't that bad. But then they only had two lines going all the way to the back of the store. People were not 6 feet away. They wasn't 6 minutes or 6 inches away half. And people were coming in front of you to get into the frozen food because the line was going through the aisle where the frozen food was. I'm like, by the time I got home, I must have scrubbed myself raw. I was paranoid. I was inventing symptoms. Okay, so I said, oh, I can't do this again. So, and that was that 7 to 8 time span where seniors are. But it's just, there's a lot of seniors. And then you got us all in line. I mean, I had a mask on, and that was before they said everybody should wear a mask. I was wearing a mask. I didn't care. But I just found that it's really hard to get it here. And when I asked the lady, Myers uses shipped. SHIPT, and I have a girlfriend who uses it, but she lives in Redford, so she can get her stuff delivered to the door. So what we had come up with is the next time I want something, I'll just get it delivered to her house because she's in Redford. That's closer, and I go once a week to get to mail packages for my business. So I just figured I'd do it that way and pick my groceries up at her house because I don't know another way to do it without a curbside service going way out.
And you know what? I understand that because I had that experience. I live near one Meijer, and I've had to go to two separate Meijers. What I did find was I would literally have to wake up in the middle of the night to watch for when the delivery times became available and secure a spot. And usually it was like 2 weeks out. It is, during the first of the month, it is definitely more challenging. And it's also based upon the amount of shift employees. Detroit,
right.
I will say that it may be a little bit more challenging. But what I would do is I would complain because if they're offering the services, it should be for everyone. And if not, then they should not provide to say they're offering the services to the community. Because
right.
I was able to use Instacart. And I did use it in Detroit for someone, and they were able to get their groceries. But you're absolutely right as far. I've done the pickup too. I just tried to do the delivery at home, and that's something new I'm doing. Walmart does delivery as well, and I receive Walmart groceries. They have the groceries where you can shop online for groceries, and they
Instacart Walmart has. Walmart has given Trump 50% of their money, and so I'm not so hot on Walmart right now. 50%, not 10, 20.
That's Walmart and Sam.
Yeah, that's true. You are good. You know what? Okay, I have another caller who wants to ask a question or make a comment. Okay, caller, you're on the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. What would you like to say?
I'd like to add to the Kroger delivery service or the Instacart and being in Detroit. I placed an order with Kroger for delivery. I am in the 8 Mile, right on the border, 8 Mile and Van Dyke, Sherwood area. The Kroger that I ordered from is on 11 in Hoover. Placed my order, like I think I secured this delivery time a week in advance. I got a notification that they were running behind a couple hours. I got another one they were running behind. And then finally, they completely canceled my order. But I noticed that when I'm online attempting to place a delivery, they won't deliver to the city. And not just my address, but I've tried relatives' address. I tried an address downtown because I thought, okay, maybe they'll deliver to what they consider is a more upscale, trendy area. So I tried an address downtown Detroit to a condominium. They're not delivering there. And I think once all this is over, we need to have a conversation, a serious conversation about racism and this COVID-19. Not only the disparities in health care from people being sent home, because that's a problem. The numbers are, I won't say fudged, but the numbers aren't accurate if a person who should be hospitalized is being sent home. So that's not an admission. And so they're not being counted. They were seen in the ER, and sometimes they're not even seen in the ER. They're seen in a line where they take your temperature, they give, you know, they do the COVID test, and then you're told, okay, go home and take some cough syrup or some Tylenol flu. Those deaths aren't accounted for, and when those people come back, they're still being sent home. So we have to deal with the fact that black people are not getting, don't have access to the health care that they deserve. You know, they think we're seeking pain medication. Black women die during birth at a higher rate than any other race of women. So that's a problem.
True.
The issue with us spending money in major retailers that won't deliver to our communities for whatever reason. Again, I'm on the border. I can't get a delivery from Walmart at 12 Mile and Van Dyke. And that's not a store. I don't support Walmart because I don't like their practices. But this is a different time, so I have to get my groceries where I can, but I can do a pickup. So they want my money. They just don't want to support my community. So that's the thing. Yeah. And then the last thing I'm going to touch on is Donald Trump and this whole not funding the United States Postal Service. You know, there's an article that came out today with him saying he believes that the prices should be increased for delivery. Well, that's why he doesn't want to fund it. I think it's a more sinister reason. He doesn't want to fund it because you have Governor Cuomo, who decided that he did an executive order that everyone has an opportunity to, they're going to be sent an absentee ballot, and they can mail it in for the election in November. That's a blue state. He made that comment. It's a blue state. Why is all this happening in the blue states? But if you don't fund the post office, we're already getting delivery late. That would affect the election. So,
and the stamps go up every other month, it seems.
But this wouldn't be about the stamps. This is about delivery. He has a grudge against Jeff Bezos of Amazon. And so he wants to increase, but he wants to deliver. He wants to increase the price of delivery, but that affects seniors who are now receiving. It affects me because I'm receiving my prescription meds through the mail. And so CVS and those other pharmacy, those other stores that are sending you your medication free of charge now, if it costs them more to send it through USPS, they're not going to send it. So that affects people that are already out of work, seniors that are already strapped for cash. So, that, not to mention there's breaking news that he owes China millions, I think $30 million, and the loan is due by 2022. And so that may have had something to do with why he didn't want to sound the alarm on this virus. So there's a lot with this president. And to your other caller, because I have to go, the one from California, I believe.
Yes.
The thing that was upsetting to me is it doesn't matter what state I live in. I am a taxpayer. So it doesn't matter that I live in the state of that woman in Michigan. She doesn't have to bend over backwards to compliment the president of the United States.
Amen.
Because there are Trump supporters in Michigan and there are Trump supporters in New York. So just because Trump he won Michigan. He won't win Michigan in November because this thing is going to spread. It's not just going to stay in Metro Detroit. It's in Metro Detroit because Trump decided to send those. He decided that he was going to do a detour and have those planes from China land at Metro Detroit Airport, conveniently where the black folks live. So that's why we have those cases. We're on an international border. It's not just because, oh, something about those black folks so special they get it. No. It's because people continue to exploit our community. So that's,
oh,
so
that's
when she made that comment
thing.
About being nice to him, you know, Governor Newsom, yeah, they have problems, but it's not about the governor. It's about
right.
the citizens of that state, not about that one man or the one man that's in the White House who should be handling this, because this is a national issue, not a state's issue.
Exactly.
Well, he doesn't know what to do, number one. The best thing he did was to get those doctors that know what they're doing. But if they have to get up there and contradict him, then he's going to get angry. So, you
well,
know,
that's
at one point
he has been cut out of the press briefings because
oh,
he
yeah.
tells the truth.
Yeah.
Dr. Burke, I watch her and I see how she kind of cowtails. No one wants to upset
yeah.
him, but people
yeah.
are
yeah.
dying. And those people, and I'm just going to say it, white folks who think that this won't touch them because the faces that they see on the news or those quote-unquote hot spots are black people, they're wrong. This isn't about a percentage. This isn't about – because, see, each percentage accounts for someone's loved one losing their life. And the same way it could be a black person's grandmother, it could be a white person's grandmother. And this virus doesn't know anything about color. So it's just a matter of time.
Got that right.
You know, and she may not have experienced seeing those cases in her hospital because I noted that she said they got them, but they sent them home. How interesting. Did they need to be admitted and they just...
Well, they do that here. What about the patient that went to 4 different hospitals and was turned away from each one? Turned away from 4.
Some hospitals
huh?
discharge because they don't want the death numbers or the cases on their books. They don't want that. That doesn't look good. So you do see a lot of discharges. Not to mention the hospitals have always discharged to keep beds open anyway. But when you start looking at sending people home, sometimes it doesn't look good that you've had so many deaths. It looks better to say you treated and you were able to discharge so many patients with COVID-19.
This thing has
nothing.
Go ahead, Mace.
No, I was just going to say about the number of deaths in the nursing homes.
Right.
I think that those, you know, I think that, and I was talking to a man today that owns group homes. And one of his employees was sick, and she was coming to work, and she messed around. She had COVID and got some of the residents in the home sick, and 4 of them ended up dying. And, you know, 4 out of the 6.
Well, they say one can have 40 people. You know, one can give it to 40 people. That's crazy.
Well, you know, this whole thing also is about economics. When you have people who really feel like they have to go to work to pay their bills, it gets to be real. They'll come to work until it's where they can't come to work. And it's unfortunate that we've gotten to
Absolutely.
That point. Part of that is
Absolutely.
Is that we're not doing the work in the beginning to teach people about economics and how to use the money when you have the money. I can bet you there are so many people that when that stimulus check came in, boy, if they had had some hairdressers and stuff open, they would have been on jam. That's the thing that you have to start. We have to learn how to use our money and how to keep it effectively. The first thing I did when this went down, it was funny because where I work, I'm an agency, so they, of course, the agencies got laid off, but I didn't because the job that I have connects to too many of the regular workers. They just have made me a regular worker, and I don't really want to because I want to retire anyway in a couple of years. But the problem comes that when my boss said, you got to do at least one day of layoff every 2 weeks, so we want to make it easy for you for with your check. I said, do whatever you need to do. Because when this man got in office, I already knew he was going to do something traumatic. I started my plan 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I started making sure there were certain things paid off, things that were not paid off. I started stashing money. Because my grandmother told me a long time ago, she would have been 132 years old if she was still alive today. She used to always say, don't you put all your money someplace, in one place. She was older when I was a kid. So she would have been 132 years old if she was alive this year. And she died at almost 100. But it's how we look at our money. What are we doing with it? What are we saving? What are we putting away in case something happens? I mean, she went through the depression. She went through all of that. You only have to do that one time to realize you don't want to do that. It used to hammer it in us, you know. And I think that's why I started getting prepared. So if they laid me off, yes, it was gonna change that I had to do, but it was not going to, I was not going to make this knock me down. Remember when I got a house 10 years ago, it was during the house crunch, you know, the real estate downturn. And even though I got it for a good price, I had so many people saying, you should get a mortgage and save that money. I'm like, well, wait a minute. See, my logic kicked in a little different. If I got the money to pay cash for the house, if the worst thing happens, I may not have electricity. I got a fireplace and I got some flashlights. Mm-hmm. But I got a building to stay in. And so we have to start thinking differently about our economics. And the one thing that African Americans, especially in Detroit, need to consider is get on that system and fill out that census. Because we don't have things in our city because people are not saying that we're here. If you're on the census, they can't. These places that have stores and everything, they do that based on how many people and the income level and all of that in an area. So we need to be on the census.
Well, I'm going to go a step further than that. I have listened to people criticize individuals who are standing in line to get their nails done, or women who are crying about getting their hair done. I believe the ball has been dropped on a generation teaching how to do your own hair.
Amen.
How to polish your nails.
Amen.
Because I grew up, I did my own hair.
Okay.
This is a luxury. I polish my own nails. I still buy my own nail polish. So those things didn't matter to me. You go and order you some hair products. I am sick of hearing people complain about not getting their hair done. Black women, most of all, know we grew up with a pressing comb on the stove. So
I know that's right.
of hearing that. But where did that come from? There's a generation gap where it was not taught. I grew up with a pantry. There were canned goods in the pantry. There was canned fruit in a pantry. I grew up like that. We have gotten away from that frame of thought. So
yeah.
I bet you now we're going to learn how to get back to it. So
well, you know, you ran out of hand sanitizer. The same thing happened. Everybody, I didn't realize it because I have some here, but I had some because I make my own. And then everybody kept saying, you couldn't get it, you can't get it. And I'm like, okay, whatever happened to, if it's not there, make it yourself. Okay?
That's right.
It's not that hard. And in fact, we're better off today because we got YouTube. It'll tell you how
Thank
to make
you.
Five
Thank
hand
you.
Sanitizer.
YouTube University. YouTube
okay.
University.
My daughter changed her alternator on her car by using YouTube. Now, let me tell you how that's significant. My daughter is 29 years old, and she's totally and completely deaf. All I'm saying is we got to start learning how to do something for ourselves.
Yep.
I can't change a tire. If I had to, I guess I'd do it.
Well, that's why I got AAA. I'm not going to try
to. See, there we go now.
No, I am not going to try to change it because I wouldn't be able to put the bolts on tight enough, and I'd go 2 feet and the tire would be off. So,
but that's okay. But for the most part, there, you want to learn how to do your hair, go to YouTube. You want to learn this hairstyle. I like saving my money. When I think about what I was paying, because I had my hair done twice a month, that was my treat for myself. But it's okay to save my money. And most of us, we're not going anywhere anyhow. Put your hair in a ponytail and go. If you need to.
Well, everybody doesn't have a ponytail.
I don't have a ponytail. You know what? I got a little tub, and it's okay.
There you go. There you go. So there is, you know, there are other ways that you can find a solution.
Yeah.
Running around for hands, as you said, make your hands sanitized. Make your cleaning solution. Using bleach and dishwater is nothing new. We did that before.
I still do.
There you go. So that's nothing new. So when you start pulling out the things that we were taught growing up, but we have a responsibility to teach a generation that has not gotten it.
That
generation did not get it. Then there are so many other factors where you miss a generation because we came from the crack phase that came through and destroyed a whole community and a generation. So you have a lot of these adults who are a product of that. And so a lot of them don't know. But that's where community steps in and you teach. We can't criticize if we don't teach them to be better.
Exactly. And it's something you have to have them learn as they grow up with what they see you do. You know, it's that type of a thing. I mean, I guess it is. You know, everybody's not going to have the skill to sew. I get that. Okay, there's enough of us in the community that do things. I mean, I made the hand sanitizer when it ran out, and people asked me, did I make it? Because I make other products that have to do with personal care. I just never really was making hand sanitizer for anyone. I said, yeah, I make some. And when I was selling it to the people, they were saying, is that all you're charging? I said, okay, I'm just making it because y'all can't find it. It's not on my website. It's not something that I'm doing as a normal. And, in fact, I'm not even keeping the money that I'm making from it because I'm putting it towards scholarships for deaf and hard of hearing. I'm not even keeping the money. And I'm not even keeping the money for the materials that I got to do it because I feel like if we need it, we need it. And one of my daughter's friends who has to go to work, and she works in a group home with deaf residents, her father wanted to get some because he's my plumber. Because I use a lot of us doing stuff in the community. When I know they're good, I pass it on. And so he picked the other day. He said, "Look, I'm gonna buy all you got." So I told him, I said $27. He said, "That's it?" I said, "Just give me the $27." Now his daughter texted me today and said, "I'm so happy you had it because I've been going to work with no hand sanitizer because they didn't have none at work." I'm flipping out.
Well, you know what I say, and I don't care. I carry hand sanitizer. I try not to use it because I don't necessarily like it. I like washing my hands. When I go into a restaurant to sit down and eat, everybody's passing around the sanitizer. No, I'm going to the bathroom because I'm going to wash my hands with soap. But that's just me.
Yes, you are.
But what I want to ask you guys, how do you feel about the extension to May 15th?
I'm fine with
it.
You know what? I don't want to catch anything. So I need all of that to be gone, personally. So they can do it as long as they need to, as far as I'm concerned. And I realize it's a hardship on people, and I get that. And so everybody has to make that judgment call themselves.
Yeah.
I can do my work at home. And even when they start going back to work, we have already talked about doing it in, like, shifts where we wouldn't have everybody in there, and I don't have to stay there all day. I can do the work that I have to do at home and only go in when my parts are there. So, you know, I just need this to be over. I don't want to, after all of this, I've quarantined and or stayed in the house, and then I go to work, and 2 weeks later, I'm sick. I don't want to go to the hospital.
Sonia.
I don't believe we need the government to tell us to self-quarantine. I think we should know better. We know that this disease is still active in the community, where we need to proceed accordingly. If she takes the mandate off, then we should access the community with caution, because I'm still going to carry on the way that I am right now. And let me just say this about families and black families in particular. Self-quarantine means quarantining with the family members in your house. I miss my granddaughter every day. I miss the fact that I can't touch her, hold her. But I know that I have to make this sacrifice right now so
right.
I can touch and hold her for the rest of my life. And right now,
mm-hmm.
we need to think like that, because too many families are being impacted. If you have to see a family member, that's one thing. But just to visit like you normally do, we have to stop that.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
Maceo.
Yeah. Well, as far as the extension goes, I don't have a problem with it. You know, I've been working from home since they had the lockdown, the quarantine. But my job is slowly but surely trying to get us back out in the field. So that's, you know, that's pretty interesting, you know, how that works. As far as these corporations, I think that when it comes down to it, we're just another body, you know. They don't really have any loyalty to you, and it's
You're
all
right.
about the bottom line, you know, and the money. So they don't really, you know, they may say they're concerned about you, but something happens to you, they're just going to fill your spot and keep it moving.
Absolutely.
So I think that, you know, we really have to have our own and own our own, you know, businesses and things that will allow us to be self-sufficient so that we're not so
dependent
on
mm-hmm.
the corporation. But I think that's another show. But I think also during this, not only during the extension, but just the fact that we're all in this situation, unprecedented times, and no one alive, unless they're 102 years old or older, that's, you know, been through anything like this.
Right.
I think that it's important for us to see the type of things that are still operating or considered essential that are still making money. And I think that we need to gravitate in those areas. I work in healthcare. And so healthcare is still essential, especially now. Utilities are essential, you know, so you still need oil and gas, you know, gas and electricity. Food is essential. Housing is essential if you have the right type of tenant, you know, because depending on who your tenants might not be working right now. So if they're not working, they can't pay you. And, you know, and you can't pay whatever bills that are associated with that particular property unless you're coming out of your pocket. So I think it's just certain things we need to be aware of. There will be opportunities that come out of this. There will be people losing their homes just
yes.
based on the fact that they lost their job.
Yeah.
You know, where a lot of people are looking at the glass as half empty. You know, you can look at it as half full as well if you focused and you got your mind right. And you know, you ask God to guide your steps in the right direction, and you prepare for it. You know, there are some opportunities. Some of these stocks that have gone down tremendously, some of them are going to come back up. And if you put your money in the right places, then, you know, you'll come out ahead of the game as well. So this extension, I believe, is just going to give us a little more time to get ourselves together and to kind of see what goes on with this virus. But I'm not looking forward to just jumping back out there. You know, I'm not going to be in a whole lot of places where they're congregating in close proximity. But I will go play some golf. whenever my wife says it's okay.
Oh yeah, right. She wouldn't whenever be listening says, now, okay. Would? Hey, May, she wouldn't be listening now, would she?
Yeah, she in the background That's, talking.
Well, what I would say is I think that our governor is doing an excellent job. I don't care about all the men who are trying to get her out of office or, you know, I'm not thinking about them. The other thing I wanted to say is I don't like it when Dr. Fauci says, and it's coming back in the fall. Yeah, I don't like that. I rebuke that, you know. I don't know. I have no idea. No one knows but God whether it's coming back or not. But I would hope that enough of us would stay in that the numbers would continue to go down so that there would, you know, we can kind of ease out, you know, little by little. But to ease out and then to have to go back in is going to be a problem. Half the people do not want to now stay in the house. Now, how do you think they would do if somebody told them, oh, we have to be quarantined again? I don't think that would happen. I don't think they would be able to, you know, go back. But I'm going to say I thank all of my callers that called and participated. I appreciate you guys. I also appreciate those that called and didn't say anything. I appreciate you guys, too. I'd like to thank my host, my assistant host, Mr. Coleman. And I'd like to thank his wife for her participation. And I'd also like to thank Ms. Deborah for her participation. And you guys, you have just made my day, or should I say made my show. But before we go, I would just like to say we don't get the opportunity to choose what happens around us, but we do get the opportunity to choose how we want to respond to it. And with that, I will say good night. Have a great weekend, and please, please stay home and stay safe. Good night. This has been the Let's Talk About It with Jimmy White Show.